At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to the Hornets Hivecast, presented by Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. Here's your host, Rob Longo.
Hi, friends, and welcome to today's edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the official podcast of the Charlotte Hornets, brought to you by Senta, Charlotte Eye, Ear, Nose, and Throat Associates, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of your Charlotte Hornets. Rob Longo with you today on this edition of the HHC, following, unfortunately, yet again, a Silver Linings episode, Silver Linings result from the Hornets last night in Toronto, 111-106. The Hornets fall now, making it the fourth consecutive loss here for Charlotte as of late, and are also now 15-46 on the season. Toronto wins the season series against the Hornets 3-1. We're going to break this one down for you, provide you with our silver lining performances. There were a lot of them, and we're also going to talk about one maybe in particular. That would be the rookie Brandon Miller. And is he the blueprint for the league moving forward? One NBA coach certainly thinks so, and we'll get into that a little bit later on. But helping me out with all of these topics on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast, the one and only lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, with me once again on the HHC. Sam, thank you for joining me on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. This one was very up and down last night for Charlotte, but either way, I know you are the consistent voice I can rely on these away editions of the Hornets Hivecast, so thank you for joining me on this edition of the HHC.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I will do my very best. And a little bit earlier of a tip-off last night, which helped a little bit. Like I said the other night, we're starting to go backwards. We go from the 10 p.m. to the 8 p.m. to 7 to 6. A little bit easier, getting a little bit more sleep as we get deeper and deeper here into the season.
And then we'll go back to a 7 o'clock tomorrow as the Hornets will be back at the Hive taking on the Orlando Magic. We don't mind the 7 o'clocks, especially when they are at home. But let's go ahead and break this one down, as Charlotte was very shorthanded going into this one last night. No Mark Williams, no LaMelo Ball, no Seth Curry, no Cody Martin. They both suffered ankle sprains in the game the other night on the road in Philadelphia. So they were out for this one, and no Nick Richards. He was a little bit of a later scratch with a foot injury as well. The only piece really missing for the Raptors, Bruce Brown's been out for a while, but it's been Scottie Barnes, who is the newer addition. He was the significant one, but still, five players compared to two. It's a little unfair, I think. But at any rate, that's something that the Hornets have certainly had to rely on and deal with this season, as Charlotte got off to a pretty solid start in this one, led it 29-27, didn't in fact take its first lead of the game until about 58 seconds left to go in that first quarter, but led it by two after one quarter of play. Grant Williams had a good first quarter, so did Brandon Miller. They each had 9 points there. Charlotte shot 59% from the field in the first frame. Emmanuel quickly keeping the Raptors in it with 10 points there of his own in the first quarter. We go to the second quarter. Looked like the Hornets were going to run away with this one a little bit. Got the lead up to 8. Toronto had to call a timeout to stop a 10-2 run, but then right out of that timeout, the Raptors countered with a 9-0 run of their own. So we were basically back to even. This one seesawed back and forth. Hornets trailed it by 4 going into the locker room, 52-48, as neither team was shooting the ball very well from 3. Toronto was 5 of 15 from 3 in the first half. Hornets were 3 for 13, as Emmanuel quickly had 14 points in that first half. Brandon Miller was the only player in double figures for Charlotte there through the first two quarters of play, and Charlotte just didn't get off to the greatest of starts there in that second quarter, shot about 33% from the field, just 2 for 8 from beyond the arc. So, again, that was the reason why the Hornets were trailing going into the locker room. Grant Williams had an interesting stat line in the first half as well, 9 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, maybe flirting with a triple double a little bit, you never know. But you go to the third quarter where the Hornets lost a quarter, 30-27. Doesn't seem very significant in there, but there was an instance where the Raptors got the lead up to 10. That was the largest lead there for the Raptors going into the fourth quarter. It ended up only being a 7-point advantage for the Raptors, as RJ Barrett had 16 points. Gary Trent Jr. had 14 points through three quarters of play, but 11 of them came in the third quarter. Miles Bridges also had a big third quarter. He had 16 alone in the third, stands as he was only at about 20 points there. So it was quite the influx for Miles Bridges and really keeping the team in it going into the fourth quarter. But in that fourth frame, it was nothing that the Hornets could really do to get this down within single digits until about the final 8.5 minutes left of the game. As Charlotte closed the final 8.5 on a 24-15 run, it was a bigger run than that at one point there, as the Hornets were keeping this one close. It was a 22-9 run until about the 58-second mark of the fourth quarter, but then the Hornets having to get into a little bit of foul trouble, having to extend the game. The Raptors were able to make a bunch of free throws, and that's why it ended up being a 24-15 official run towards the end of the contest rather than that 22-9. But a big run there in the fourth quarter. Hornets able to cut the deficit and even took a lead with about 1:06 to play. It was the first lead that the Hornets had until the second quarter, midway through the second quarter, where it was 41-40. So Davis Bertans, a big time three with a little bit over a minute to play to give the Hornets a 103-102 lead. But ultimately, Charlotte faltered down the stretch a little bit. A couple of turnovers in there, a couple of big time buckets, and a couple of maybe fouls that maybe weren't fouls, depending on what side of the coin that you're looking at here. But we might not get too into that one. But ultimately, Charlotte falls 111-106 in Toronto last night. Brandon Miller had a game high 26 points. Miles Bridges also with 20, Grant Williams, 18 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. Davis Bertans, 14 points off the bench, as RJ Barrett had 23 there on the other side for the Raptors. Emmanuel Quickly had 22 points as well. So, Sam, this one was kind of touch and go there, especially in that second half where the Hornets seemed like they were going to lose by maybe, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 points. And then they were able to all of a sudden take the lead there because they were down by as many as 15, but they rallied back. They made it a game. They even took that lead there with 1 minute to go. But ultimately, there were a couple winning plays down the stretch that just didn't go Charlotte's way.
Yeah, I think it was pretty clear at the end of the game or after the game that Steve Clifford was going to look back and say it was the transition defense, because those points just kind of kept adding up. And that's why the Hornets found themselves down 15 there early in the fourth quarter. And, you know, they credit to the Hornets. They got back in front. I think the run they went on to get back in front, 103-102, so they were down 15. They went on a 28-12 run to get it to 103-102 with 106 left after that Bertans three. And you could just feel like they had all that momentum going. And 5 seconds later, it just felt like it was gone. They committed the foul, quickly hit both free throws. They go down. They take not a super great pull-up two by Miles Bridges. Doesn't get it to fall. And then, like you said, the Bertans foul could have gone either way. Again, I think if the transition defense had been better throughout the entire game, they're not in that position where you're at the end of a game and sometimes things can be 50-50. So I like the fight. It's tough there. I looking back, and now that I'm kind of recalling it a little bit, I think if they had gotten a stop after that Bertans three, and let's say it's probably 40-ish seconds left, it felt like they were going to hit one more basket and maybe put it away, like just make kind of a big-time clutch shot. But once they got the lead and kind of quickly gave it right back, it's almost like that momentum just hit a wall completely. So that's a tough one, just in the sense of you rallied, you fought, you climbed, you got all the way back, you got in front, and then you almost didn't even really get a chance to hold that lead at any point because you just gave it right back. So a little bit of a tough one. And again, I think the transition defense, as we saw, as Cliff pinpointed after the game, that was the biggest issue. It's an area that Toronto leads the league in fast break points, and they're actually averaging 28 fast break points per game since the All-Star break going into this game. So if you want to look at a small silver lining, the Hornets actually held them below their average since coming out of the All-Star break, but 26 is still way too many.
Yeah, 26 to 15 was the fast break point advantage in favor of the Raptors. The other big thing, too, was the turnovers, and not so much the fact that it was a big disparity. It was the fact that the Hornets weren't able to limit them. Toronto had 16 turnovers, resulted in 18 Charlotte points. The Hornets turned the ball over 17 times, resulting in 13 points for the Raptors. So if you're able to limit maybe a couple of those turnovers, and those live ball turnovers are especially the killer because it's almost like a 2-for-1 whammy, because not only are they points off turnovers, but more times than not, they're also fast break points as well. So that was certainly something that I kept an eye on in this one. And keep in mind, too, that this was a little bit of a banged up team, obviously. I mean, I touched on the inactive report going into this one. The starting five, I didn't even touch on that. It was a completely new look five. Vasilije Micic got his first career NBA start. Trey Mann, Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges, and Grant Williams was your small ball five going up against Jakob Poeltl. Now, Jakob Poeltl did get hurt in the game. He only ended up playing 15 minutes, went to the locker room a little bit before halftime with a dislocated finger, but still, there's an opportunity there for the Hornets to try to play that small ball five. He worked a little bit to their advantage. I don't want to know what this game would have looked like if Poeltl stayed healthy and was able to dominate a little bit more. He did only finish with 8 points and 2 rebounds, but still, at the same time, he's still a presence there in the paint. RJ Barrett was a guy that got to the rim a lot in the game last night. Emmanuel quickly can blow by you. The last name doesn't fool anybody. He's a guy that can score at the rim at will as well. And even though the Hornets ended up winning the points in the paint battle 62-58, it's still one of those things where, because of the three-point shooting, you needed to score in the paint last night. Charlotte goes 8-for-27 from beyond the arc. That's about 29.5%. The Raptors weren't much better, but they made 5 more threes, 13-38 for 34%. That's basically your ball game right there in a game that you lose by 5. So again, it's one of those things where if you had maybe one more healthy body for the Hornets, and I know you've been saying that time and time again this season and last season as well, if you had maybe a LaMelo Ball, if you had a Mark Williams, if you had Seth Curry, if you had Cody Martin, who I know doesn't shoot the three very, very well, but he's a guy that can facilitate on the perimeter and drive and slash and score at the rim. Nick Richards, a 7-footer in there. If you had 1 7-footer, the Hornets had 0 7-footers in the game available last night because of the injuries. So if you just had one more of those guys, take your pick of the litter. If you want to put the names in a hat and pick one out, I don't think it would have mattered. I think it's a completely different ballgame. And I know that the Raptors were playing a little bit hamstrung as well with no Scottie Barnes, but still, if you have that many guys out, it's definitely going to play a factor in the game. And once again, I know we've been saying that all season long, but I feel like this game last night is a true testament to that statement.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree, but I think I kind of lean more towards the other side of the fence on this, just with the injury stuff. I think, yes, would it have helped to have, you know, Mark Williams and LaMelo Ball and some of these other guys out there? For sure. I mean, any team would love to have as many of its rotational players out there, but they had more than enough guys, I think, to win this game. And just simple getting back on defense, which Steve Clifford pinpointed after the game, that's really not necessarily so much of a talent thing. That's just effort and not saying that they weren't showing effort. They just weren't matching the Raptors there in that category. So I think this game comes back to, if you're getting back on transition in half the possessions that you didn't last night, maybe this is an easy 8-9-10 point Hornets win. So definitely see the points you're making, but at the same time, it felt like the Hornets played well enough to win this game, and the difference was just not getting back in transition when they needed to. And then some of the late game execution stuff too, I think, was a little bit of a problem. The fouling, the Bertans foul again, that could be 50-50. You know, just can't put yourself in that situation necessarily. Some of the shot selection with Miles's two-pointer there. Bertans had a good but not great contested three there on the corner. Maybe didn't need to take it right that second, but it's just a combination of things. I think they had enough talent to win. They just didn't get it done from a transition and execution standpoint, but they had the bodies to make those two things happen.
It's a fair point. It's certainly a fair point, but just from a depth standpoint, it also had a little bit of a hit, even though the Hornets were still able to be competitive in the bench points category. Only got outscored 28-24 in that sense against the Raptors. But either way, it ends up being a loss for the Hornets, 111-106. Charlotte now 15-46 on the season. Raptors still alive for maybe that last play-in tournament spot, now 23-28 on the campaign. Hornets losers of four in a row, but still a lot to like in the game last night from an individual standpoint. We're going to talk about our silver linings right after this here on the Hornets Hivecast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com with you on a Silver Linings edition of the HHC. Charlotte falling in Toronto last night, 111-106. Touched on a couple of the top performances in the box score last night in our last segment, but just to remind you, Brandon Miller, game high 26 points, 10 rebounds, first career double-double for him. Miles Bridges had 20 points, a rebound shy of a double-double. Grant Williams, 18 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. Vasilij Micic in double figures with 12 points as well in a starting point guard role, and Davis Bertans, 14 points off the bench as well. So, Sam Perley, you're the guest. Who would you select as your silver lining performer from last night's game?
I am going to go with Brandon Miller. Like you said, very, very nice performance. 26 points, right at about 50% shooting, 4 of 8 from three-point range, had the 10 rebounds, which is a career high. It feels like he's been knocking on 9 rebounds for a while. I think he's had 2 9-rebound games this year, and I want to say he's had a handful of games where he's had like 7 boards at halftime, but could never really get that 10th one, but certainly got it last night. Just really, really good, kind of kept them steady. Felt like he had a couple timely buckets in the second and third quarter to stop a little bit of the Raptors' momentum here and there. And that is actually the first 25-point 10-rebound game by a Charlotte rookie since 2012, when Michael Kidd-Gilchrist did it against the Phoenix Suns. He had 2 that season. Other Charlotte rookies to do this at least once: Mecca Okafor, Brad Miller, Alonzo Mourning, Larry Johnson, and J.R. Reed. So another performance where Brandon Miller finds himself in some exclusive company in the Charlotte record book. So very, very good job. It's good to see him kind of come back and play well after missing the last game with that lower back injury.
Miller inbounds to Bolden, gets it right back. Brandon Miller, crossover dribble. Forced to hoist up a 3 around and back down. Old Brandon Miller, big guy's got to shrug his shoulders. Hey, when you're that good, they all drop for you sometimes.
Brandon Miller was excellent in the game last night. If you didn't take him, he probably would have been my silver lining performer. Interesting that he's also among guys like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, former number 2 overall pick, as well for the Hornets. So must be something in the water about those number 2 overall picks in Charlotte and having those 25-plus points and those 10 rebound games. But it's crazy to think that this is Brandon Miller's first career double-double. I had to really go back and, like you mentioned, double-check that, because it's hard to believe that he hasn't had one already, the way that he can rebound the basketball as well. So finally able to get to that threshold of 10 or more rebounds. Hopefully he's able to get many, many more double-doubles here as the season goes on, and I'm sure it's going to be the first of many here in Charlotte in terms of his career as well. But for me, my silver lining performance, I think there's a couple of them that really stand out, but we talked about the Hornets mounting that comeback in the fourth quarter. It wouldn't have been there without Davis Bertans.
Trent to the corner, RJ Barrett for three. No! And the rebound tapped by Bertans over to Brandon Miller. Opportunity for the Hornets. Bertans for three in the lead. It's good! Davis Bertans! Bottom of the well.
I don't know how many threes that Bertans hit in that game last night that just felt so impactful. He ends up going for 14 points off the bench, most points off the bench on either team in the game last night, 5 of 11 from the field. Heck, he even threw down a dunk there at one point, 4 for 9 from beyond the arc, also had two blocks in there. He played a little bit of defense as well, but I mean, anytime that he chucks up a ball from the corner, and I know, or from anywhere on the perimeter, kind of like Brandon Miller, where it just feels pure. It feels like it's going to go in every time that he shoots the ball. There's very rare instances where you have him take a three and you say that is not a good shot, or that is something that is not in his wheelhouse. If he has the green light, his release is so quick, I'm going to trust him with every single shot. And Bertans ends up a +7 in the plus minus in the game last night. That is the best among Hornets players, and he was a difference maker, not only offensively, but defensively as well, with those couple of blocks and leading out to transition plays. But man, he had some big time threes in the game where it just felt like the Hornets really needed a bucket, and he was able to deliver there on the 4 for 9 shooting from beyond the arc. And that is a guy that the Hornets have desperately needed. I feel like it's a guy that can come into the game and he can catch fire all of a sudden right away. And that's something that I felt like he did a little bit in the game last night. I know he missed that three that would have tied the game or put them ahead there late in the contest where they really, really needed a bucket, but it was a good look. It's a make-miss league. Sometimes you miss them, and that's unfortunately what happened in the game last night. But without that three that I just played there, we're not even talking about the Hornets mounting a comeback or anything like that, because if he misses that three with about a minute left to go, I'm not saying it's curtains, but it's starting to get dark pretty quickly for the Hornets. But Davis Bertans, I thought, was phenomenal coming off the bench because, again, he's been a role player in his league for a very, very long time. There's a reason why he ends up being on rosters year in and year out, and I think we saw that last night in that sense.
Yeah, for sure. And the look he had in the corner there, I think the catch wasn't great. And I think he just kind of, the timing was off just a little bit, and he still almost hit it. I think it hit right on line and just a little too much hit the back part of the rim, and then just right on target, looked like it was going in, and then unfortunate. But like you said, make or miss league, but he's been making a lot right now, especially from 3-point range. I think he's probably around, I calculated it midway through the game when he was 2 for 2 from 3-point range, and he was about 49% from three since he joined the Hornets. So probably still high 40s now after finishing 4 of 8. But that's 3 out of his last 4 games he has scored at least 12 points off the bench. And the other one was a 8-point game where he was 2 of 3 shooting from 3-point range. So he's been really, really good. And I remember watching him for those years in the Wizards, and he is by far one of the guys that absolutely just gave them, as a lot of people have spoken about, just the toughest time with some of the stuff he was doing when he was in Washington. I mean, there was not a guy in the league that was as quick around screens and curls and catch and shoot that I think I've ever seen than Davis Bertans. I mean, he could just get these shots up so fast. And I think that's what kind of leads to some of the momentum shifting as sort of demoralizing, is you almost just don't even see it coming. And then just out of nowhere, he's flying around some bodies, catch and shoot. And then before you know it, it's a big 3-pointer that you didn't even think was a possibility 2 seconds ago. So he's definitely still got it. I mean, he's been a big, big key to the Hornets reserve unit since he came over, and that height and that he's still got that quick twitch shooting is something that's been really, really valuable for the Hornets that they've needed, especially with all these guys hurt right now.
Again, Hornets fall last night 111-106. A lot of top performances in that game last night. One in particular, of course, Brandon Miller with the game high 26 and 10 rebounds to go along with it. 26 points, of course. But earlier in the season, not that long ago, in fact, when the Hornets kicked up off the All-Star break, There was a little bit of an interesting comment from Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups. We're going to let you hear about it and see what we think about the comments that he made about the rookie Brandon Miller. We're going to bring that to you next here on a Hornets Hivecast brought to you by Senta.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Rob Longo and the lead writer of Hornets.com, Sam Perley, putting a button on this edition of the HHC. And Sam, something that I've been kind of keeping close to the chest here over the last couple of days, I guess about a week now here, ever since the calendar has flipped to March, is something that caught my ear whenever the Hornets were in Portland about a week ago now, was the pregame press conference from Portland Trailblazers head coach Chauncey Billups. Of course, Chauncey, a great player in his own right, especially going back to those Detroit Pistons teams from the mid-2000s. But something that somebody asked in the press conference was about Brandon Miller and what he thought about the play of Brandon Miller and what he sees from him and what his potential could be here in the NBA. So I'm going to sit back here for a second and let you guys listen in to what Chauncey Billups had to say about Brandon Miller.
For a kind of slender guy, he gets in, he sticks his nose in there and rebounds. That's not easy to do. You know, we struggle so bad with it, I'm telling you. It's not easy to do. And you could just tell he's a team guy, too, you know, and he's a knockdown shooter, you know. So he's what the league is, you know, is all about. And I think he's starting to figure it out, kind of feel himself a little bit, figure out the NBA game, figure out his opponents. He's playing well, man. He's playing very well.
Sam, I thought that was interesting. One, of course, all respect to Chauncey Billups with the high praise from Brandon Miller, and of course the Hornets did pick up that win in Portland that night. But the thing that stands out to me is that quote that he said there about how that's what the league is about. It's about slender guys that can knock down shots. I thought that was a little bit of an interesting comment, because when I think about where the league is headed right now in terms of players that you want on your roster, obviously you go back a couple of years ago, Steph Curry changed the game. The three-point shot from no matter where you are all of a sudden was a great look if you're able to knock it down. Now all of a sudden it's kind of evolved a little bit to, I feel like, centers that can be athletic and elite, not your traditional back-to-the-basket guys that can pound you in the paint just because of the way that the game is played now. Now you're looking at guys like Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic who have size and have the ability to play inside, but they can also stretch the floor and hit three-pointers. I guess you can include Giannis Antetokounmpo in that category as well, even though the three-point shot's a little up and down with him. But he has the ability to do that. So for me personally, I feel like that's where the league is heading, where you want those guys that can be elite centers that can stretch the floor and bring people outside the paint and open up everything a little bit more. But I thought that was interesting that he was talking about Brandon Miller in a sense that this is what you need in a guy to be successful in the NBA these days. So I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on that and hear a little bit of praise for the number two overall pick, who hopefully by the time that this podcast is released and maybe in the coming hours that he would be the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month for February as well.
Yeah, anytime you can get that kind of praise and statement about your game for someone like Chauncey Billups, who NBA champion, was a finals MVP, five-time All-Star, was on the All-NBA team a number of times, and All-Defensive team as well. It's certainly it means something. It's significant. And, we've talked a lot this season about, and Brandon's talked a lot about the guy he's modeled his game after is Paul George. And you can see some of the flashes from Paul George's game to Brandon's. You can see, when Brandon says he modeled his game after Paul George, you can see that in his game. Now, that's not to say that there's, absolutely he's going to have the same sort of career and trajectory as Paul George. I mean, it's kind of early to guarantee that. But so far, he just looks everything about, I'm so impressed with his rookie season. I really am. It's how controlled he looks. You have to kind of remember sometimes this is a rookie, that he's still playing, in his first NBA season, and it has to be doing so much more. And I know it's been a tough season for the Hornets, injuries, losses, and everything like that, but to know that Brandon Miller is part of this team's future and what you're seeing from him, and like you said, where the NBA is going, this is why he was the second overall pick. It was obviously Victor Wembanyama was going to go one, and maybe there was some debate as who would follow after him, but the 6'8", 6'9", wings that can shoot like him and can score at the rim and can score in the mid-range and score from three-point range and that can defend multiple positions on the other side. I think Brandon is going to get to the point where he can defend the first four positions, maybe even centers at times in small ball lineups as he adds more physicality and grows a little bit more. There's just so much they can do with him from a versatility standpoint. And I love that losing bothers him. I love that how competitive he is. I love his shooting stroke looks great. There's so much to like about him. And this is the kind of guy that teams in the NBA want. They want Jason Tatum's. They want Paul George's. They want the Leonard's and the Brandon Ingram's and guys like that, these 6'9 wings that can, play 2-4 and guard 1-5 and score from anywhere on the court and have sort of that edge and that attitude. So I am not short on praise for Brandon Miller either. I think he's been absolutely tremendous and is a lot of fun to watch too, especially in the season. As we've watched all these games, it's been tough to see some of the losing night after night, but to watch him play and to know that, okay, he's going to be part of the reason this thing turns around and we have him for the future is really exciting, at least from my standpoint.
We're lucky to have him in the Queen City, but again, just thought it was a little bit of interesting quote from Chauncey Billups and a former NBA great in his own right, and seeing that the future is in good hands, especially here in Charlotte with a guy like Brandon Miller. That'll do it for this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Sam Perley, lead writer of Hornets.com. Thank you for joining me on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. We're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow here at the Hive as the Hornets set to take on the Orlando Magic.
Thank you so much for having me. I know a quick game homestand, then a couple days off, and then back on the road. I'm sure you'll be giving me a call for those road games, but at least you won't have to hear from me. You'll have Sam Farber back in the building for that one against Orlando tomorrow night.
Either way, we will meet our daily required quota of a Sam on a podcast. Sam Farber will have your game preview of the Hornets and Magic on tomorrow's edition of the HHC. I'm sure Sam Perley will join me as the Hornets embark on a road trip Friday at Washington, and then we'll be on a second night of a back-to-back at home, taking on the Brooklyn Nets. So our back-to-back specialist as well will be with us on that edition of the HHC. In the meantime, though, for Sam Perley, I'm Rob Longo, saying thank you so much for joining us on this edition of the Hornets Hivecast. Sam Farber will have your game preview as the Hornets take on the Magic tomorrow here on the HHC.
Thank you for listening to the Hornets Hivecast, brought to you by Senta, the official eye, ear, nose, and throat care provider of the Charlotte Hornets. For more coverage, visit Hornets.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.